Welcome to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo, coming to you from Worcester, Massachusetts, in the heart of New England. The intro music, which you just did not hear, would have been the song So Pretty by The Charms, but due to the fact that we're not back in the studio at New Alliance in Somerville, recording with our outstanding engineer, Herb Morsiglio, there is no intro music. Instead, I am here looking at my MacBook and recording through this tiny little built-in microphone, not one of those fancy mics at New Alliance. But I couldn't wait any longer to record episode 33. So here we are amidst a mind-blowing virus, which has crippled society as we know it and will probably cause us to forever think and do things differently. It's a painful time for all of us to be in isolation. But nevertheless, we are here, and I've been doing my best to keep busy, listening to music, reading, making art, spending way too much time on social media, which in itself has made life sometimes good, other times frustrating as hell. I'm sure you understand what I mean. We have a ton of great guests waiting to come on the show, but for now, you get to hear me ramble on a bit as I try to get through this chaos and move forward. I was trying to think of some interesting topics to talk about, and believe me, there is no shortage. It's just been hard to get motivated, and I've been recovering from a strange illness myself, which I believed was COVID-19, even though I tested negative, and I wouldn't be questioning that result if the testers hadn't come out with the possibility that as many as 30% of these tests may be false negatives. I mean, I was sick for like 3 weeks. I had all the symptoms. I've never had a cold or a flu anywhere near that long, but it doesn't matter. We have to move forward. And that's why I'm here, to move forward. I get a lot of interesting requests from listeners about different topics to talk about. And one that I've been asked before was, how did I end up working for a major label in the 90s. Well, let me tell you, getting a job at A&M Records was not easy. I've always thought of myself as an independent label kind of guy. I mean, I worked at four different independent labels and eventually started another independent label called Red Car Records following my time at A&M. And I did this while I was running my music management company. How I ended up at A&M was pretty amazing, pretty interesting, I should say, and amazing. And before I tell you about that, I'll share some stories with you about some of the other interviews I had with majors that didn't amount to a job, but were nonetheless great experiences, to say the least. The first interview I remember having with a major was with Michael Alago. Yeah, the famous guy who has a documentary about his career on Netflix called Who the Fuck Is That Guy? Well, Michael is most well known for signing the heavy metal band Metallica, but worked with many other artists over the years. We first met when he worked for Elektra Records, and we always had a really nice friendly relationship. Here's the funny thing about this interview. He left Elektra and he was involved with a new label in New York City, which not only do I remember the name of the label, I can't remember it, I can't find anything about this mystery label online anywhere. So the only reason I'm mentioning this is because I was able to sit down and talk with Michael Alago for about an hour about a possible gig that I can't recall if it was an A&R gig, a marketing gig, or whatever. In fact, it might not even been a formal interview. I don't know. Nevertheless, the next three interviews I'm going to talk to you about were actually, they definitely were interviews with major labels that I do remember and know. I also once interviewed with Combat Relativity and Barry Coburn, who was the head of the company. But that didn't amount to anything because I knew I was going to be starting up a new label at the time at Dutch East India, which eventually became Giant Records. But since they approached me, I figured I would at least head over to Hollis Queens and see what they were thinking. It was definitely not a good fit for me, and I didn't end up taking the job, but it was still nevertheless an interesting interview. A few years later, after I moved back to California and I was working for Metal Blade Records, my profile went up in Hollywood. I had a much higher profile than I ever did because Metal Blade was a very popular label. So we were always around town. And I got to know a lot of people at different labels. One of those guys was Bennett Kaufman at RCA Records. There was a point when everyone was looking at this band, The Nymphs, and wanted to sign them. And I happened to have a very good relationship with their singer, Inger Laurie. In fact, if I wasn't working at Metal Blade at the time, which was a metal label, even though we did sign the Goo Goo Dolls a little after that, I could have made headway with getting them a deal. In fact, I thought that it was a band that, you know, I had a really good relationship with them, but I didn't have a label to sign them to. Well, anyway, Bennett wanted to sign them also, and he was pursuing them heavily like several other labels in town were at the time. But they eventually went to Geffen Records. He told me that he was looking to hire an A&R person and asked me to come in for an interview. We had a great talk, and honestly, I thought there was a job there for me, but he ended up giving it to someone else at the label, and it didn't happen. And I went on to work for Third Stone Music after I left Metal Blade, and I spent several years there. And when my gig ran out, I was once again a free agent, and my friends Mark Cates and Michelle Shore at Geffen Records got me an interview with Tom Zutat and John Kalodner together, both in the same room. Now, if you don't know those guys, one of them, Zutat, signed Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, and the other one, Kalodner, signed Aerosmith and Whitesnake. Like, this is a hardcore meeting, a meeting with two heavy A&R dudes. I'm talking heavy. We had a great talk. They seemed serious, but at the end of the meeting, they said something to me that kind of was a little mind-blowing, and I knew that I wouldn't get the gig after they told me this. They said they would definitely give me a job if I could get them Fugazi and or Bad Religion. And I knew right then and there that was not going to happen. I didn't even try to get Fugazi. I knew there's no way that Ian MacKaye would ever sign a deal with a major label, and he never did. So I was like, and I didn't even think about going to try and get Bad Religion. I think they did end up signing a deal later with Atlantic, but it wasn't something I wanted to do. It didn't matter, you know, because they didn't even end up hiring anyone for the position, as far as I know. This is what it was like at the major labels in the 90s. You never knew what was going on. It was more like a courtesy interview for me. And I have to admit, it was pretty cool sitting in a room with these two guys talking music for an hour. So it was one of those things I'll never forget. It was shortly after my Geffen interview that I actually ran into Brian Huttenhauer at the Coconut Teaser, a now defunct Hollywood club on the Sunset Strip. And we talked about me coming down to the A&M lot and talking to him about an A&R consulting gig. Now, Brian knew me because when I worked at Metal Blade, we did some work for Soundgarden. We kind of laid down the early marketing work for them, and we met a couple times. I was at a meeting once with him and Mike Failey, the president of Metal Blade, so we knew each other. So I saw this as a great opportunity, and after I met with him, he told me, I really like you. I want you to do this. It's an A&R consulting gig. You'll just go out and see bands, listen to all my tapes, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, cool. But I had to go meet with David Anderle first, who was the head of A&R at the label. And this guy's another heavyweight. I mean, you work with the Beach Boys and the Doors. I mean, I don't really have to go much farther than that because those are like two of the biggest bands in American music history. And he was their A&R guy. But I passed the audition and the gig was mine. And there I was working at A&M Records. But while I was there, it was an A&R, it was actually a consultant gig. So I wasn't officially part of the whole A&M team. I was more like an independent. And I knew I had to, you know, work there for a while to get my foot in the door. And that's why I did it. I'm not sure how this happened, but I think it was Bud Scapa at Hits Magazine tipped me off to another interview for an A&R gig. This one was at Arista Records. And somehow I got an interview with Clive Davis. Yes, that's right. The Clive Davis. There's no way a guy who grew up on High Street in Webster, Mass, had any right having an interview with Clive Davis, but I had one. I met him in a suite at the Beverly Hills Hotel. That's right, the famous Beverly Hills Hotel, and spent 45 minutes telling him about my road to get to this very spot. I thought we really hit it off well. He was a great listener. He listened and was focused on me the other time. He never yawned or anything. So I left thinking, holy shit, I'm going to get a job at Arista Records working for Clive Davis. He said, my assistant is going to call you in a few days. So we'll get back to you in a few days. I was feeling really good. When she called a few days later, I was feeling even better. But here is when it all hit a snag. At this time, I was doing the A&R consulting gig in A&M, and I just started, but didn't really know where the gig was going. I didn't know if it was going to end up being full-time or not. So I was like interviewing with Arista, because you never know. Maybe I'll get a real A&R job. Before I could get this gig, I had to meet with Roy Lott, who was the VP of A&R at the label. I don't know why he hated me, but from the minute I walked in the door, I had no idea. He did not like me at all. He wanted someone else is the only thing I could think. And he knew that. So it'd be easy for him to go back to Clive and say, I like this other guy who I believe turned out to be Lon Friend from Rip Magazine, because I'm pretty sure that's who got the gig. And I was pissed. And to this day, I can't stand that prick Roy Lott, because it would have been pretty cool for me to be working at Arista Records with Clive Davis, but it didn't happen. So eventually A&M moved me over to the marketing department, because Brian had these bands, Damn the Machine and Paw. And there were other bands at the label like Therapy and Monster Magnet. And they didn't really have a metal marketing department, even though these bands weren't all metal bands. They kind of fell into that genre. So Brian set up a meeting for me, and I went over and met with Jill Glass and Jim Guierno, and ended up working for them for the next 5 or 6 years, which is a whole other episode, which I will definitely talk about in the future. There you have it. How to get an interview and not get a job by Steve Ricardo. Anyone that thinks that, you know, you could just skyrocket in the music industry, it doesn't work out that way for everyone. It didn't work out that way for me. But I did end up working at a great label, A&M Records, for about 7 years, and that was good enough for me. So that's going to about do it for now. I want to thank our sponsor, JLS Design. They do custom screen printing and embroidery. Great place for bands to get all their t-shirts, hats, hoodies, etc. You can reach them at jlsdesignprinting.com. Their email is jlsdesignsales@gmail.com. If you contact JLS and you tell them we sent you, you'll get a 10% discount. And if you let me know about that, I will personally also send you a special gift. I'm not kidding. I'll do it. And they're a really cool company. They make our t-shirts, our Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico t-shirts, which if you follow me on Instagram at Twisted Rico, you'll see pictures. I often post photos of Nina and Mary and all these lovely ladies who send me photos of them wearing the shirts. I've only gotten a couple from guys. I'll post the guy photos too, but Joe Wisner from the Charms hasn't sent me a picture of himself wearing the shirt yet. I'm waiting. He did show up though, actually, on the podcast, now that I think of it, wearing the shirt. So I didn't take a photo, but he was on the video. All right, so once again, my email is TwistedRico@gmail.com. You can find me at Instagram at TwistedRico. And you can also find us on YouTube, where we've been getting a tremendous, fantastic response and on the videos that we post of the show. Please send me your comments, questions, etc. Check out our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/TwistedRico, which is a great way to support this podcast. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. And until the next time we say goodbye, yes, we love you, Billy Phillips. Busy Phillips. I made it through the whole podcast without fumbling, but I have to fumble sooner or later. Anyways, thank you for listening, and keep the rock and roll alive.